You've tuned into Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you're doing fabuloso today, as they would say in my native country, Mexico. Before we begin talking about all the chemicals that are found in pregnant women, the website is Naturopathic Earth, like naturopathy, with the adjectival form with the ick at the end, naturopathicearth.com. Go there, check it out. There's a lot of articles and a lot of recipes there. And I recently created a new link now that I've published my memoirs, Confessions of an Obese Child, which you can find on Amazon Kindle and Barnes & Noble Nook for $2.99. Go check it out on those platforms. I have a page tab on the homepage that says Support Us. And if you click there, I show you the three ways that you can support this nascent endeavor created by two teachers. And of course, one of them would be to purchase the book for $2.99. And I have the links there to get to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The other thing, of course, is to support our crowdfunding account through Patreon. There's a link there. And I believe there's a link on every episode notes page. So for example, if you look at your phone on this one right here, you could click on the Patreon link that's on the episode notes. And also, I really don't mention it that often, but if you go to the articles that are on the website, and if you notice that some of the words are hyperlinked, so for example, let's say the article that I wrote on, I think maybe the first article I ever wrote, four superfoods you got to be eating right now, and on them were white tea and dark chocolate and so forth. Anyways, if you notice that dark chocolate is hyperlinked and you click on it, it takes you to Amazon where you can buy that particular dark chocolate brand that I'm encouraging, or the ones on insomnia where I have a link toward buying blue light blocking glasses. So if you click through one of the links on the Amazon on my page, and it takes you to Amazon, any purchase that you make within 24 hours through that link, I get a very paltry 4% commission. Now, it doesn't have to be whatever the link was. So if you click on the blue light blocking glass link on my articles on insomnia, and it takes you to the blue light blocking glasses page on Amazon where you could buy their blue light blocking glasses. Let's say you don't want to buy those. Let's say you go and want to buy whatever, those Instapots. I will get 4% of the amount that the Instapot costs at no expense to you. And that's really important. They don't charge more, increase it, the price for me to get commission. It's just an ancillary way for me to make some revenue. And for Amazon, it helps them because, again, it's more links, it's traffic to get to their site. So that's another thing, of course, that you can do. The last thing would be that if you notice, if you go to my page, there are ads up. And you know, I've noticed recently there's more for Barnes & Noble. But if you click on any of those ads, I get a very, 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 very small, like 0.02 cents. But these are some ways that you can support the endeavor that Kate and I have created. So please go do those things. It would be great. Also, I am a certified health coach. If you need help losing weight or you want to eat cleaner or better, contact me and I can help you with that. As always, opt in the newsletter on the homepage and you get a free initial email consultation. So these are just some things that you can do. All right, let's start talking about all the crazy chemicals that are found in pregnant women. Thank you. Okay, so I have covered this topic quite a bit in terms of all the hormone disruptors that are found in our diet and in our general environment. So I would recommend, if I were you, to go back to some previous early episodes. I mean, these are early. I mean, we're at 133, I think, now. But if you go down to maybe episodes 29, I have episode 29, Plastic Toxicity and the Lie of BPA Free. That'd be a good one to listen to. That's 29. Then 33 is on phthalates, which are another hormone disruptor. I would check that out. 36 is on chlorine, which is another hormone disruptor. Then I have 37 and 38, my two-parter on fluoride. That's a hormone disruptor. Later on, I got one on 47 on styrofoam. That can be a hormone disruptor as well. Then I have one on volatile organic compounds, VOCs. That's later on in the 50s. And these are all good episodes to go back and listen to. In vis-a-vis pregnancy, I do have the ones that talk about how antidepressant use during pregnancy could have adverse effects on your child. That's going to be episode 103, around the century marker. So I'd probably check that one out as well. So today, there was a new study that came out last week, and this is going to be a very short episode. I like to keep Thursday episodes pretty short, but this is from the Daily Mail over in the United Kingdom and Britain. Pregnant women have more than 50 gender-bending chemicals in their blood. Yeah. And this was released on July 25th. Pregnant women have on average 56 different gender-bending chemicals in their blood, new research suggests. These include parabens, bisphenol A, and triclosan, which may hinder fetal development and cause birth defects, a U.S. study found. Such chemicals are considered gender benders due to them encouraging male breast growth. I mean, that's not only the only thing. I mean, they're what we call xenoestrogens or foreign estrogen. And what they do is they mimic real estrogen. And as I mentioned, even in the previous podcast on the IUD, that anytime you have an imbalance in the force of hormones of any type, it causes a disruption of that homeostasis, and therefore you are more likely inclined to either be estrogen dominant or depending on what your sex is. But too much estrogen, of course, in men would be bad. And even too much estrogen in women, it can be bad as well. And it can lead to bone issues and it can lead to cancer and other endocrine issues. Previous research suggests parabens, which are used as preservative in cosmetics and skincare, mimic estrogen and may cause cancer, weight gain, and reduced muscle mass. We do have an episode on parabens. Parabens are also found they mentioned skincare, in lotions quite a bit, and in the sunscreen. So yet another reason to avoid the sunscreens. Bisphenol A, which is added to receipts to make their writing darker without using ink, reacts with estrogen and thyroid hormone receptors and has been linked to infertility, autism, and ADHD. So again, go back to that episode I did on the plastics. There's an article on five places where you would not expect to find BPA, because we think BPA, of course, is going to be in the plastics or at the plasticizers. This article mentions it's also in the laser receipts, which I mentioned in that article. And then all canned goods are lined with BPA. So you really can't avoid it. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, they found so many of these chemicals. And I mean, if I remember correctly, I think something like 90% of Americans have BPA in their urine. Because again, how many of us are eating canned food where you're like, okay, I only eat fresh vegetables? Well, maybe, but when you go out to eat, how many of those restaurants, which are typically provided their food by Sysco or by Sodexo or US Foods, how many of those have their food come in gigantic cans? So again, it's very, very, very hard. Of course, you don't want to be microwaving in plastics and all these things. But unless you're making everything at home, and we're going to talk about some steps you can make at the end here to try to avoid all these chemicals, but BPA is very hard to avoid. And I mentioned in that previous episode too, that the bait and switch that they do with BPS, right? So you'll notice some items are BPA free. Well, yeah, they might not have bisphenol A, but they're going to have a sister chemical like bisphenol S. And so it's really a bait and switch. You're still getting the toxic sheetrock that's in the BPA item, but they're not really officially lying to you. It's more of a like an obfuscation or a dissembling of the truth, you know, which is classic in big food, big pharma, big medicine. Triclosan, which is another one they mention, is added to antibacterial soaps, body washes, and toothpaste. That's associated with reduced heart health and underactive thyroid, in addition to being a hormone disruptor, which, of course, is, the thyroid is one, but other hormones as well. I used to do a project or a challenge. So as I've mentioned before, I take students to the hospital where they witness surgeries and they shadow professionals on the floors. And so about 5 years ago, I told the kids, okay, I want you to go through the hospital and go through all the hand sanitizers, because of course hospitals are going to have tons of hand sanitizers and soaps. And I want you guys to tell me how many of them have triclosan, because triclosan is typically, most commonly you're going to see it in the flavored or scented antimicrobial hand sanitizer, the alcohol sanitizers, right? The Purell. Now, most Purells now, if you look on the back or you peel off the little label, only have alcohol, which is fine. Some of them, especially the flavored scented types, are still going to have triclosan, which is an antimicrobial. So I had these kids do it at this hospital over in South San Antonio, and I told them, take pictures and then, you know, come back to me. And a lot of them had triclosan, and this is like shocking because this is a hospital. This is a hospital, so you would think hospital administrators might be in the know and maybe, hey, we need to get this thing out that can hurt our heart and affect our hormones. But no, I mean, they don't know because, again, you're only as smart as what you are taught and what you know. We've talked about that with doctors, and we talked about even in your career and my career, we're only as good as the amount of work we put into being good and also the amount of knowledge that we have. So these hospital administrators, they're not like, oh, we can't buy this, you know, X product because it's got triclosan. They're like, okay, let's just buy the cheapest antimicrobial soap that we can get for, you know, the price. Yeah, that's what they really care about. So you can't, you know, fully blame them. All right, so let's go to the research. The researchers from the University of California at San Francisco took blood samples from pregnant women at two hospitals. The first, Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital, mostly cares for low-income women, while the second, UCSF's Mission Bay Medical Center, has patients from diverse backgrounds. All of the women's blood was screened for around 700 chemicals. Speaking of the findings about how the pregnant women had 56 hazardous chemicals, lead author Dr. Tracy Woodruff said, quote, more chemicals are present in pregnant women than had previously identified, some of which may be hazardous to developing fetus and to adults, close quote. Yeah, we call those teratogens. So like things that could cause birth defects in your baby are teratogens. They have gen meaning origin or causing of. So similar to carcinogen, which is a cancer causer. So not surprisingly, a lot of carcinogens are teratogens as well. I mean, the most obvious teratogen stuff is going to be like still like radiation, for example, and drinking a lot of alcohol. But there used to be a drug called thalidomide that they used to give to pregnant women back in the around World War II in the 50s, and it was an anti-nausea medication which caused the pregnant women to birth children with no arms. So they had essentially a thin arm. So, of course, that was a teratogen. And almost all the carcinogens that we've talked about in this podcast feed are teratogens as well. Research further suggests pregnant women with low incomes have greater numbers of chemicals in their bloodstream. Now, I mean, why is this the case? Probably, if I had to speculate, I would think it's because poor people are not eating as much organic food or organic at all, and they're probably eating more of the junk food, the Cheetos, and essentially all the middle aisles of the supermarket because it's cheaper. They're probably eating more canned goods instead of fresh fruit, which has the BPA, and they're likely not eating as I mentioned, the organic meat and vegetables. So if you go back to that episode, which I think is episode 5 on the Dirty Dozen, on the pesticide-laden produce, they're probably eating more of those. So you take all these into consideration, plus the plastics, that may be a reason why that they have a greater amount, whereas the richer people are probably more, they've been more woke, as my students would say, and they have more of the money and the knowledge to maybe shop and buy more organic stuff. If I had to hazard a guess, that I would say. In addition, 6 of the chemicals found had never previously been discovered in pregnant women. One of these newfound chemicals is 2,4-dietert-butylphenol, which is found in plastic pipes and water bottles. Now, I do have an episode on the dangers of bottled water, and I talk about kind of more of the sham that is bottled water, where in fact, bottled water is more toxic than tap water. And I would go back to that episode as well. And then plastic pipes. So look, almost all of our water supply comes through PVC pipes in a house. If you see a house being built, most of that is coming through those white PVC pipes. So it is great for sure to put a fluoride filter in your faucet, and it is great whenever you have water coming out. You don't use plastic, maybe store it in ceramic or whatever. But even so, I mean, it's very almost impossible to avoid PVC piping bringing you the water in the first place. So that's an unfortunate thing that it's hard to avoid. So 2,4-dietert-butylphenol has been found to reduce weight in newborn rats. So they have problems gaining weight. The researchers hope their findings published in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives will encourage initiatives to protect pregnant women from chemical exposure. Good luck on that. This comes after research released earlier this month suggested BPA, which is also found in the lining of canned foods. Good for this article to mention that. It's also found in CDs and DVDs, but we really don't use those that much anymore. May cause inflammatory bowel disease or IBD. BPA causes the same inflammation and gut bacteria changes in mice that occur in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis patients. So Crohn's is an autoimmune problem, which we talked about in the previous episode about how foreign bodies, for example, like the IUD, can cause the body's immune system to flare up. And so you see all these manifestations in different parts of the body that have nothing to do where that device has been implanted, because the body's like, get this piece of crap out of my body. And so the whole immune system, it just like turns on like the bat call. This occurs after the animals are exposed to 0.05 milligrams of kilograms of BPA a day, which is the level considered safe by the EPA. Great. So BPA is causing inflammation in our gut, leading to inflammatory bowel disease in levels that are considered safe by the BPA. Now, of course, the BPA and the USDA, they always say when it comes to our exposure to BPA, our exposure to fluoride, our exposure to cell phone radiation and EMF and all the things we've talked about in the past, they'll be like, oh, the amounts are so infinitesimal every day that the body's able to tolerate it. Well, perhaps, but first you have to have the trust that they're telling you the truth, that the levels are infinitesimally low. I'm the cynic, I don't trust them. But even if you want to trust it, but what about the day in, day out exposure to not just BPA, to not just phthalates and VOCs and parabens and MSG and food dyes and the host of stuff that's in our food, all the preservatives and all the other things that we mentioned. But maybe the body can handle one of those infinitesimal amounts one day. But what about every day for 40 freaking years, plus all the other environmental toxins that we're exposed to? Yeah. I don't know. Like, especially when it comes to cell phone radiation, and we definitely have episodes on that. If you scroll through EMF, I think we have like 3 on EMF and cell phone problems, where we even have an episode where the government admits that EMF is bad for you. How many longitudinal studies do we have on EMF radiation and cell phone usage? None, really, because I mean, we've had smart devices for 10 years. 10 years. That's it. For you millennials, I mean, your whole life has been we've had EMF and cell phones. But for us old folk, we remember the good old days when we didn't have it. So, I mean, cell phones have been around on commercial level maybe about 20 years by now. I remember having a really big, ugly flip one back in Alaska in the late 90s. But we've only had smart devices 10 years. So there's no longitudinal studies. It's not like we can have a longitudinal study on it like we can on fluoride, which has been in the water for at least 50 to 70 years. We've had phones for a very short amount of time. So there's no way for us to know what 40 to 50 years of cell phone radiation or EMF can do to the body. There's no way we can know that. So we are essentially guinea pigs to so many things, The USDA has banned BPA from baby bottles, while the European Commission prohibits the chemical from being added to receipts from 2020. You know, we've already talked about the sham that is BPA-free stuff. Results further suggest BPA significantly worsens rectal bleeding in mice. Oh, we don't want rectal bleeding, no. As well as causing weight loss and worse fecal consistency. Yeah. Good way to end an article on fecal consistency. Okay, so let's finish up and let's talk about some things that you can do to reduce your exposure to all these hormone disruptors. Okay, so what can we really do? One of the reasons I wanted to talk about this topic is we have already covered all these like individually. We've talked about the parabens and the phthalates and the plastics and all these things. But so this article is just kind of a good reminder how we are all inundated by these horrible chemicals. Now, the article focuses, of course, on pregnant women, but we men are affected by this. And go back to the episode on the sperm rate in men dropping so much in the last few decades. And this is because of the hormone disruptors. This is episode 35. The sperm count has dropped 50% in the last 40 years. We are in a reproductive crisis right now. And of course, you're going to say, Gregory, I know a lot of people that are pregnant. True. But back in the day, It's like animals. You ever notice how like horses, when horses are breeding or cows, it's like, of course, those animals only have sex when the woman, quote unquote, woman is in estrus, right, where she's in heat. But normally it doesn't take the stallion like months to impregnate the mare. It's like one time, boom, they're pregnant. That's how we used to be back in the day before all these chemicals that were put in. So if you go back, you know, 500,000 years, 6,000 years, whatever amount, getting pregnant was pretty easy. It was pretty easy. The sperm was potent, the women were fecund, and it was pretty easy. So yes, you might know people that are getting pregnant, but how many people do you know are not getting pregnant? So the sperm rate is dropping, the motility, the morphology of the sperm is dropping, and a lot of it's the hormone disruptors, and same thing with the females and their eggs, where all these hormone disruptors are effing with our ability to reproduce. Now, you don't have to be super conspiratorial in nature, but I do have the episode on the hype of overpopulation and how there perhaps might be an agenda to cull the population, perhaps. And so one way of doing it is secretly castrating us and tying our fallopian tubes in a metaphorical way by putting all these chemicals in our life to make us reproduce harder, to make it harder for us to reproduce. That is a much more kind of devious, but definitely surreptitious way to make us not be fertile, instead of just, oh, why don't you line up and get an IUD, or let's castrate you or give you a vasectomy. So we do definitely have that episode. I think that's like episode around 99 or 100. So what are some things that we can do? I've already mentioned some of them here. Now, to completely eliminate these things from your body is virtually impossible. But what can we do? Well, ideally buy organic, the things that need to be bought organic. We've talked about, go back to way back in the year of 2017, the episode on the Dirty Dozen. And I mentioned there that not all produce needs to be bought organic. A lot of that is the hype, that whole paycheck in your supermarket tells you that everything needs to be organic. So for example, bananas don't absorb a lot of pesticides, so you don't need to buy those. Organic, avocados, pineapples. So just go back to that episode. But certainly, certain produce have high levels of pesticides and hormone disruptors in it. So we're looking at the apples, the ones that are always on the dirty dozen. Apples, most of the berries, grapes, potatoes, bell peppers, and stuff like that. So buy organic. Definitely, if you can't afford it, buy organic milk, buy organic meat, and try to eliminate almost pretty much every food that's in the process aisle, because almost all of those are going to have, you know, sugar, the inflammatory oils, and those problems, and then loads of preservatives. So, and then those preservatives are linked to hormone disruption. So that's one thing. As I mentioned with the plastics, just toss them out of your house. Don't ever buy bottled water. And for you, like, Gregory, it's impossible to avoid it. No, it's not. I never drink from bottled water. I carry around my ceramic cups all the time and at school. And so it's possible. You can just warm up everything on the right pan. Go back to that episode about stainless steel pans being a problem, the Teflon pans, and how those are majorly problematic. But there is cookware that you can use that isn't problematic. So yes, you can just warm up food there. Don't warm up food in your microwave. And when it comes to fluoride in the water, that's a problem, because you can buy the filters for sure, but at your work site, they're not going to have those filters. Like at school, they certainly don't. There's just water fountains there that have the toxic water, the toxic city water. But if you have a filter at home, you could fill it up a big canister of water and only drink that water when you're at your work. You could do that. As a reminder, with fluoride exposure, most of our fluoride exposure occurs in the shower when you women take very hot, steamy showers. So try to buy a fluoride filter. On the articles that I have on fluoride, I do have links to Amazon where you can buy fluoride filters, so I can get a small commission there. But that's one thing that you can do as well. When it comes to cosmetics and the parabens, buy paraben-free stuff. I have a colleague of mine, Ashley. She's associated with Rodan and Fields. She assures me that most of their products are paraben-free. And I'm sure anything that you buy at Whole Paycheck or any of those websites, I guess like Goop, like Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop, they probably sell paraben-free stuff and sodium lauryl-free stuff as well. So that's certainly a step. Now, of course, all of these things, I'm telling you, are going to cost money, right? To buy paraben-free makeup and paraben-free lotions and paraben-free toothpaste and to buy organic food and to buy filters costs money. And going back to the poor people, this is the reason why the poor people have higher rates. But you're going to tell me I don't have the money to buy these more organic-esque products. And I would say to you, I certainly don't have the money. I am a teacher who pays a sheetrock amount on child support. I barely get by. And so we, on one level, it is true, especially if you're poor. But on the other level, if we're really intellectually honest with ourselves, where are we spending the money that we do have? Are we spending it on going to Starbucks to get coffee or to McDonald's to get burger or even to a restaurant, and we spend $40 at a restaurant or $100, and that money could theoretically be redirected toward not eating out at all? Because we've talked about that episode, I think it's episode 8 on the Clean Eating Guide to Eating Out, how restaurants use the same toxic crap that's found in our regular food. So we could not eat out at all or limit it, highly limited it, and then use that money to buy food that we would prepare at home where we can control the ingredients, and there you could use the organic foods. So on one level, yes, you might not have the money to buy the expensive fluoride filter, but you might have the money to buy organic blueberries. So it's all a question of what's important to us. We know that prevention of disease is significantly cheaper than the treatment of disease. So preventing cancer, for example, by staying away from all the aforementioned and staying away from sugar and eating a well-balanced diet and all the things that we've talked about to lower your chances of getting cancer, it's significantly cheaper, even though organic blueberries could be $5, for example, than you getting the cancer and having to spend, what is it, $3,000 a month on chemo pills, which more often than not don't work. So just kind of look in the mirror and see, you know, how important is your health? How important is your spouse's health? How important is your kid's health? And where should we be directing the money that we have, the shekels, the few shekels that we have? And where should we direct those to help or ensure our chances of having not just a long life, because we all want a long life, but a good quality of life? We don't want to be in an old age home at 70 where we have dementia and Alzheimer's for the last 20 years of our life, where we're essentially watching a TV and drooling. Nobody wants that. We want to have a high quality of life while living a long time. So these are just some things, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some other things that you can do, but you guys are smart and you probably already know some of the things that I'm omitting. So these are just some things to do. So girls, if you're trying to get pregnant or if you are pregnant, we've talked about in those pregnancy episodes, you got to eat very clean. Very, very clean. Of course, get off any prescription drugs. I have that episode on antidepressants that we've talked about on the other episodes on Xanax and alcohol and its link, how hard it is to get off antidepressants because most of them have a withdrawal stage that Big Pharma knows about. So when your unsuspecting doctor prescribes you the Zoloft or the Paxil, they might not know the withdrawal problems that you're going to have when they put you on this thing, when you complain to your OBGYN that you're a little depressed. And so they put you on these antidepressants, which increase your chances of sexual dysfunction and weight gain and suicide and just all these horrible things. So let's say you want to get off your antidepressants and then you try to get off and then you have all the withdrawal symptoms of Xanax, you know, the anxiolytics or the antidepressants or any of the other mental health drugs. And so the withdrawal symptoms like the shooting, electrical pain, the anxiety, the classic withdrawal symptoms that you would see in drug use, they're so bad that you're like, I'll just stay and take the low dose of whatever, you know, Paxil, for the rest of my life. So we want to get off. We don't even want to get on these antidepressants. But if you're pregnant, again, eat clean and try to get off any and all prescription drugs. If you can't get off a prescription drug, read the inserts and see if there's any links to any fetal development issues, any teratogenic issues. And that's something that you want to do. But if you're wanting to get pregnant, the same thing. Eat clean, lose weight, and that definitely increase your chances of getting pregnant and have the sperm provider do the same thing. So as always, please disseminate this podcast to your friends, to your colleagues, post them, retweet them, whatever. I'm on Twitter at Occult Health News, and retweet these. Hit the subscribe button on your phone so you can get these podcast episodes sent directly to your phone. And as always, please post a review, not just for the episodes, for Kate's Apothecary, for Confessions of an Obese Child. And now, since Confessions of an Obese Child, the book is on Amazon and Kindle Go, please post a review for that. And on Barnes & Noble Nook, they allow you to post reviews even without you purchasing the book. So that's something that you could do for me. That would mean a great deal if you're unable or unwilling to donate to our Patreon account or actually buy the book. All right, guys, until next time, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time.